Hello and welcome to the podcast channel of Mission Chunya. I am Girish Shivakumar. Hope you enjoyed the previous episode with Professor Jaideep Prabhu. And hope you also have got a chance to pick his latest book, Do Better With Less. Post the episode, a lot of listeners wrote to me online and also few people reached out to me offline to get to know about some basic steps that they can take up. For example, what can they do to have a positive impact? How can they be more environmentally conscious? So this episode is dedicated for all of you. On this episode, I share some three basic action items that you can take to have a positive impact. So on to the show. The very first step is water use. Better water use and management is an essential step that you can take up. Water happens to be one of the most stressed assets in recent years. And probably by now you would have heard about the stat that only 1% of water in the planet is fresh water. In recent years, many studies have confirmed that in megacities like Bangalore, Rio de Janeiro, Cape Town, water could run out in the next few years. So if you are in one of these cities, you better take care. Globally, around 10 to 20% of water, that is potable water that runs through your pipes and reaches your home, is lost due to pilferages and leakages in the system. So the very first thing that you can do is ensure that you have no leaks in your house, because nearly 50% of the entire water that is lost in leakages happens at the consumer's end. So this is a small step that you can take, but it has a lot of impact in the system. The next step that you can take to manage water use better is set up rainwater harvesting systems. In recent times, governments across various cities and countries has mandated rainwater harvesting when you build a new home. Even existing households have retrofitted rainwater harvesting systems. It is very simple to use. I am sure most of your households would probably have that inbuilt. But in case you don't have, ensure you fix that. It is just as simple as ensuring the rainwater collected in your roofs goes underground and seeps through. Globally, aquifers are depleting at a rapid scale, and it is essential that the groundwater table is restored to a normal level pretty soon. The next big thing, you wouldn't probably realize this if you are in a developed country like the US or UK, where the piped water is really potable. But in most part of the developing world, you need to have a water purifier. One of the popular water purifiers are the reverse osmosis based water purifiers. Reverse osmosis based water purifiers are really good, but they have a disadvantage. They waste a lot of water. For example, a 15 liter RO purifier like the one that I have consumes nearly 30 liters of water to purify 15 liters. So it wastes a lot of water. Nearly 100 to 150% of the water is wasted. But you can put this water to better use. You can route this water to your garden, or you can probably collect it and use it for other purposes in your household. When I say this as an action item to few people around, they consider this as a very trivial one. Why would you want to collect a water and then you put it to use later? I mean, why not let the water just go in the drains? But imagine, like, about 40 to 50 liters of drinking water is consumed in an average household, but you would be probably using around 100 liters of water. I mean, you would be paying for the water in the first place, and also at a broader picture, what happens is that it takes a lot of energy to get the water to your home. So a small step like this makes a positive impact. Now on to action step number 2, lighting systems. The very first thing that I would probably tell people is let the natural light in. There is no substitute for natural lighting, but we need to use lighting systems. If you happen to be one of the people who use the old incandescent bulbs, well, it's a good opportunity for you to leapfrog to the latest technology, the LED solutions. Well, you might ask me that why is it important? Lighting accounts for about 10 to 20% of an average electricity consumption in a household. So lighting is key. As a matter of fact, if you probably go to energy efficient lighting systems, the LED bulbs, you can bring down the cost of electricity consumption by 50%. So that'll be a big saving. The other key thing and why LED solutions are very efficient is that nearly 100% of the energy supplied is converted to light, as against around 20% of the old incandescent bulbs. LED bulbs also last really long. They last up to like 40,000 to 50,000 hours, which is more than 10 times the normal light. Globally, there is a huge momentum towards LED lights. Developing countries are probably adopting LED lights in comparison to the CFL lights, which had a negative impact of the mercury emissions. So LED lightings are really cool. There are more new designs coming out. There are designs and also lights are available in various form factors. It does not need to be a cylindrical thing. It can be a tube light and multiple form factors. And there are also cool colors that are coming out. This is not a big thing, but it's a small step. And changing your bulbs to more efficient LED bulbs could have a positive impact in bringing down your monthly electricity consumption. So well, if you're planning to have a new lighting system, go check out the latest designs and form factors from the world of LEDs. It could be probably a little expensive upfront, but remember, the savings happen during a lifetime. It's a small step, but I hope you take it up. It has a positive impact. The third and final action item that I have for you is appliances. Choosing energy efficient appliances is really a key thing for sustainability. You might probably look around and find a lot of electronic appliances in your households, be it refrigerators, washing machines, TVs, and so on. In the last few years, I mean last couple of decades in fact, governments around the world have various programs to ensure that there are energy efficient appliances in the market. Be it the Energy Star program in the US, the Energy Label program in the EU, or even the Energy Star program in India and Australia. So all these programs want to make sure that all the appliances are rated as per the efficiency and consumers can pick the most efficient ones. Let me give you an example. If you're planning to buy a refrigerator, you could probably look up for the Energy Star rating if you are in Australia or in India. These ratings convey the annual consumption that the appliance would have over a year, and it could probably then be a 3-star or a 4-star. For example, in a refrigerator, having something like an inverter technology would probably give it a higher rating and consume less energy. Also, an appliance that is rated 4-star would probably save more than 33 to 35% of energy compared to a 3-star appliance, especially in the category of refrigerators. But of course, yes, appliances with a higher energy rating would probably cost you a little high in upfront. But as I said earlier in the case of LEDs, the real savings happen during the lifetime. And in this age where the electricity prices for residential consumers go up every year, it's probably essential for you to have energy efficient appliances. One more key appliance that we spoke about earlier in an episode was air conditioners. Air conditioners again account for about 50% of electricity use in summer months in tropical countries. Again, the same inverter based technology is available in air conditioners. And again, a higher rating like a 4-star rating in an air conditioner would again be more economical in the long run. So the next time you're headed to the market to buy a new appliance, make sure you do your research, find out the various options available and see the pros and cons of going for a 3-star against a 4-star or the other way around. I'm pretty sure when you do this calculation, you'll find out that an appliance that is rated 4-stars would probably save you a lot of money during the lifetime. It's a small step, but it really saves a lot of money. And if you're looking for small steps, this is one of the best thing that you can do. So just to recap, the 3 steps that you can probably do is to ensure better water use and management. Step 2, ensure that you have LED lights in your home. And step 3, ensure that you buy energy efficient appliances. Now on to this week's action item towards Mission Shunya. The best thing that you can do after listening to this podcast is take an action. Pick a step from the 3 that I mentioned and make sure that you implement that in the next 30 days. But if you are doing all the 3 steps, well, the very best thing that you can do after that is to ensure you spread the word about it. Make sure you share the podcast to a friend or colleague, or go and talk to a neighbor who has not adopted this and ensure that they are also doing this. Mission Shunya happens by spreading awareness and spreading message to various people and ensure that even they are part of this transition to a zero carbon economy. I would like to know what you think of the podcast. You can write me an email, missionshunya@gmail.com. You can also find me on other social media platforms. Go by the handle @missionshunya. If you have any topic that you want me to cover, if you have any general feedback, you can always reach out to me. If you like the podcast, I hope you are subscribed to it on any platform that you're listening to it. I would appreciate if you give me a rating and write a review on Apple Podcast. It definitely helps in spreading the word and it ensures that the podcast is visible to a lot of people around the world. So please do that. It really helps. A special thanks to all the listeners who have wrote a review on Apple Podcast. So until next time, when I get back on the podcast in 2 weeks' time, signing off, this is Mission Shunya towards a zero carbon economy.